Hi, this is Colin McCallan. Thank you for listening. Please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. Thank you.
Welcome to Is This Legal? Here are your hosts, attorneys Colin McCallan and Russell Hebbets.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Is This Legal? I am your host, Russell Hebbets, here with my legal partner, Colin McCallan. Colin, say hello.
How's it going, everybody?
He's also a host. We're co-hosts. So today we are going to go back to a topic that we have touched on a couple times in the past. For any of our faithful listeners, you'll remember episodes 61 and 74, where we talk about the Barry Morphew, Colorado murder case.
Yeah, the murder without a body, I think, as we called it appropriately back then, with the information that we had.
We are back because the body has been found.
Oh, my goodness.
Suzanne Morphew's body was recently found in Colorado. So we are going to take you through where we are with that investigation, where the potential prosecution is going to pick up again, what's going on with Barry Morphew. We're gonna take you through everything.
Yeah, we're gonna hit it all. We're gonna play all the hits today.
And by the way, for anyone who really just after this wants more information on this, go look at the Denver Post article that posted on September 28th, in which my partner Colin McCallan was extensively quoted talking about this case.
Hey, thank you for that plug, man. Appreciate
absolutely
that.
You're famous.
Yeah, that was fun. We're gonna do another episode on this case because, man, we have a lot to talk about here. Right now that we have a body, where is this gonna go? Is someone gonna get arrested? What does an investigation look like? What's next for Barry Morphew? Who's gonna take the case? These are all questions we're gonna try and answer for you guys. So strap those seatbelts on and just get ready to get pinned back in your seat, because we're going to cruise 90 down the highway, Morphew Highway, we call it.
We're going to be going 0 to 60 in about like 2.9.
That's
right. Which is fast.
That is fast.
So for just really top line, for anyone who, you know, hasn't looked at this in a while or is totally new, Barry Morphew was charged in his wife's disappearance, even without a body.
Yeah.
He was charged back in 2020. He spent time in jail, a lot of time in jail, and his case was dismissed in April of 2022, just 9 days, I think, before trial.
Yeah, a little bit more recap for you. This is a 3.5-year-old case now at this point, Russ.
Right.
So Suzanne Morphew is a Chaffee County woman who went missing in May of 2020, I think the day before Mother's Day. For a couple years, her body had not been discovered. There was no real evidence of a crime scene or what happened to her. There was no murder weapon that was ever found. Not a lot of forensic evidence in this case, Russ. However, as is often the case in this type of a disappearance, law enforcement set their sights on the husband, on
right.
Barry Morphew. He wasn't charged right away, Russ. There was some pretty significant investigation that was being handled by, at that time, the Chaffee County Chaffee County Sheriff's Office, as well as the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. Nevertheless, despite not recovering a body, they felt like they had enough evidence based on cell phone tracking data, based on some forensic DNA evidence, based on some inconsistencies about his whereabouts from Mr. Morphew himself. They believed that they had enough to charge him with murder, which they did.
Right.
Now, Russ, we've done a couple of podcasts now on the 11th Judicial District Attorney, Linda Stanley.
We've done a couple podcasts on her independent from the Morphew case.
Right. We've had a lot to say about Ms. Stanley and have very closely scrutinized some of her decisions in this case as well as other cases. But nevertheless, this DA back then, she's like, you know what? I think we have enough. Now, against the advice of CBI, she decided to go ahead and file this murder charge against Barry Morphew. And honestly, that case was doomed from the beginning. First of all, we talked about it on our podcast, Russ. there were significant challenges to that prosecution just by the nature of the case, right?
Sure. You don't have a body. You don't have any forensic. You don't have proof that there was actually a murder at that point in time. Like Barry's case was, Barry's contention was she either ran away or was abducted.
Well, I think she, at one point too, I think he said, well, I think she went on a bike ride. I think that was what he initially thought she did. And in fact, there was evidence of that. We might talk about that later.
Yeah, there was evidence of that where the Chaffee County sheriffs thought that that was staged, that right. that was staged by Barry. But there were a bunch of things that happened through that investigation where information was not disclosed. It was either withheld or misrepresented to the defense.
Yeah, from the district attorney's office.
Right.
That's right.
And that's a big no-no. Like, especially in Colorado, the defense gets everything that the prosecution has about the case. And that's a constitutional right.
That's exactly right. So what were some of the things, for example, that Linda Stanley's office did not provide to the defense? Well, some pretty significant stuff. I mean, first of all, from what we can tell looking at the file, there were a lot of just missed discovery deadlines. The prosecutor, they're under an obligation to provide everything regarding their case, names of witnesses, police reports, 911 calls, body cam evidence, everything. And there were a lot of misses in that. But significantly, they did not disclose exculpatory evidence, Russ. What is exculpatory evidence for our new listeners?
Exculpatory evidence is evidence that tends to show a person did not commit the crime.
Right.
It is the opposite of inculpatory, which shows evidence someone did commit a crime.
Yeah, and to be clear on this, prosecutors have to disclose all evidence, but of particular importance is any evidence that would indicate that this person they're prosecuting did not commit the crime, but they are prosecuting.
Big deal.
So, kind of putting a highlight on this for a second, just to remind our listeners, here's what they didn't disclose. They didn't tell the defense that they found Suzanne Morphew's driver's license and her credit cards and cycling accessories in her Range Rover. That was important because he thought that she went biking. This is a big one, Russ. They did not disclose the fact that they found male DNA on the glove compartment of the car, of her car, that partially matched samples from three unsolved sexual assault cases in different states across the country.
That's a huge one, and we went into depth on our prior podcast on that, but you have to disclose that kind of stuff. They also, there was a dog handler that was supposed to be tracking Suzanne Morphew. They, in their reports, they said, yep, the dog hit on the hillside behind the house, and they lost track of it going over a creek. However, that was just blatantly false.
Right.
The dog actually did not alert. Right. So, I mean, some big problems. And ultimately, these problems, along with the discovery violations and missing the deadlines, led Linda Stanley to file a motion to dismiss 9 days prior. Right?
Yeah, she filed a motion to dismiss her own murder case. Now, this was, I guess, prompted by the judge's exclusion of evidence due to these egregious discovery violations.
Right.
The judge, actually, right before trial, said, you've endorsed 14 expert witnesses. I'm striking 12 of them as a sanction for your inability to turn over files to the defense. And these witnesses, in a case where they didn't have a body, were really important, Russ. They were going to call witnesses who could testify about tracking a cell phone. They were going to call witnesses about DNA and maybe why there was or wasn't DNA recovered at a certain crime scene. It gutted their case. It killed them.
Right.
And it was already a case where it was kind of a case where there was a lot of smoke and not a lot of fire.
Right.
I mean, to remind our listeners, Suzanne Morphew was having an affair before she was murdered. We don't know if that had anything to do with her death, but certainly that was what investigators were looking at Barry Morphew for because they believed he found out about this.
Right. The intimation is that he was jealous and that prompted a murder. And I mean, you know what they say, Colin, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right. But in this case, it's like, it was just like this room was hot boxed and no one could find the actual source of the heat.
There's no ember.
Right.
But so here's like in that motion that she filed to dismiss, a key part of that motion, which, by the way, we talked about at that time, you don't need to file a 10-page motion to dismiss. Right. You can file a 1-page motion to dismiss and achieve the same results.
Yeah.
But she filed a 10-page, and one of the things she said in there is, part of the reason why we're filing this motion is because we think we're going to find Suzanne Morphew's body soon. We think we know exactly where it is, and it's in a mountainous region right by their house that is just, we can't access it because of snow right now.
Right, exactly.
Why is that so important?
Well, first of all, it turns out that where Suzanne Morphew was discovered was not at all near this location that Miss Stanley is talking about in her motion to dismiss. So she basically admitted in her own motion that she was barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah,
that she was, you know, they believed the body was somewhere else, and was, of course, that was no surprise. It had not been recovered, even when the snow melted earlier this year. Russ, they didn't recover the body.
Right.
I guess we can say this at this point. This body, Ms. Morphew's body, was actually found by mistake.
Right.
It was found during a search for another body, another person who had gone missing, another missing person that was reported in that area. During that search, they find Miss Morphew's body, which, my goodness, the Siwash County Tourism Office might need to do a little retooling in terms of getting people out just here.
Tripping over bodies there.
It's like Gilgo Beach, right? Gilgo Beach. Made that same. Yeah, everybody stay away from Gilgo Beach and stay away from Siwash County, Colorado.
Yeah.
Bodies are just being found everywhere.
But apparently, it's a big deal that the Siwash County, where they found the body, was 45 miles away and to the south of where the Morphew household.
Right.
And that is so key, because at no point in the investigation of the time frame around when Suzanne disappeared did anyone allege that Barry went south.
Right.
Let alone 45 miles south to Siwash County.
Yeah. And we know from the prior prosecution that they have a lot of information regarding his cell phone records, right, regarding what he was doing. I mean, notably, I think if I remember this correctly, he had his cell phone turned in airplane mode for about an 8-hour chunk during the day that she disappeared. Of course, investigators were very interested in that. But I think what you're getting at is, it looks like, despite this mountain of evidence where they were tracking his movements and stuff, it appears to us at this point, with the information that's been out in the press, that they didn't have this location where the remains were found on their radar at all.
Right, exactly.
So we'll see. By the way, it was Russ found in a shallow grave. I think that's what we found out in the media reports. It was apparently not a very deep grave.
Yeah, some killer didn't take like body disposal 101.
Can we talk about that for a second, Russ? Let's just have a little PSA about this. If you're going to dispose of a body, right? My goodness, there are ways to do it, and there's certainly ways not to do it. And I would say a way not to do it, Russ, would be the shallow grave move. Oh yeah, let's go down maybe 2 or 3 feet. We'll just cover up. No, we'll find that. Yeah, there's no chance in heck. I mean, is this amateur hour here?
It's very, very unlikely for that to stay buried.
Yeah. Russ, what's your recommended method of body disposal? What would your go-to method be?
I mean, I'd call the authorities and say, please dispose of this body in whatever way you see fit.
The body disposal unit. Yes. I know those guys. I think they're called the police. And but the problem is, I think they take you away and in a box for the rest of your life.
I didn't realize I was implicated in this. So if we're talking about a nefarious body disposal, you know, pigs are always a good call.
Reminds me of the movie Snatch. Yep, the guy just fed his victims to the pigs.
Pigs will eat anything.
Yeah,
Have you watched the series Killing It?
No.
So in Killing It, this comes up, and they actually feed a body to a invasive Burmese python in the Everglades. And apparently pythons fully digest a human body in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you... So first, you're saying, find a python.
First, you drive to the Everglades.
Starve it for about 2 months, probably, and then feed it. Okay.
I think you have to find one that's big enough to take the whole body in anyway.
All right, so Russ goes with pigs or python. That's your method. I'm going to go with a classic. I think I'd want to find an incinerator somewhere. The problem is, like, Gross Point Blank style. Where does one find an incinerator, though, that's, like, capable of storing, like, a 200-pound body?
Well, you need to bribe a funeral home.
Okay. Right? See, that's the problem. Then you're introducing new witnesses to your plan.
It's true.
So that's not good. If you live by the coast, you can always do the ocean approach. Just dump them
cement,
right in.
Cement boots.
Yeah, cement boots, cement galoshes.
Yeah. Make sure you use the cement galoshes, because if you just dump them in the water, that's no good.
Yeah.
That's worse than a shallow grave.
Try and avoid any like pirate treasures or shipwrecks, because you know that, otherwise that bag gets discovered.
Find the pirate treasures.
So I think we've just solved the problem for our listeners. So with those suggestions, I think everybody's going to be good going
the
forward.
The first step is don't kill anyone.
Exactly.
That takes care of this, and you don't need any of that advice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just don't murder anybody, and then you're never in that position. But look, joking aside for a minute, it was found in a shallow grave, which does perplex me. I mean, just because it's very, very hard, unless you're going 6 feet or more, to conceal the odor, the smell, the possible just rise of remains up from the earth.
Animals digging it up.
Exactly. So we also don't know at this point what the condition of the body is. But Russ, let's talk about the autopsy, because boy, is an autopsy going to be really important in this case.
Incredibly important. That's the information that we need that we don't have. And honestly, we're probably not going to have it for quite a long time. You get all sorts of information from a crime scene like this. You get information about potentially DNA that was found on or around the body, right? And, you know, Barrymore's DNA on his wife's body is not going to be telling, because they were living together at the time.
Right.
That doesn't connect him to a
murder.
Yeah, I
was thinking about that. Yeah, think about that for a second, okay? You know, we've talked about other cases where DNA is involved. Brian Koberger in Idaho, where they found like DNA of his on a sheath inside his murder victim's room.
Right.
That's a problem, because this is an unknown assailant.
Right.
They didn't know this guy.
He wasn't connected to him.
But with Barry Morphew, I wouldn't be surprised if they find DNA of his on her body, because they're married together.
So here's where
they're living together.
Right. Here's where it would be important if they find his DNA under her fingernails,
right,
showing that there was a struggle and that she had scraped him. That would be fairly damning for him if that kind of evidence is there.
Or, I mean, and again, we have no knowledge. This is all just us speculating right now about what they could find. Let's say she was shot to death. Obviously, if the bullet was still with her body, if that were recovered, that would be a way where you could tie it to someone external. You can match that up with a gun. Who owns the gun? Do we have any of that? Who knows? We don't even know a manner of death yet.
Right. Cause of death exactly is a big one. Time of death, right? Was she killed right then on September 8th?
Yeah.
Or on whatever date it was, Mother's Day, back in 2000? Or was she alive for some time afterwards?
See,
that would make a huge difference.
That's going to be
case.
Very interesting, because I've got to think, Russ, I mean, as advanced as DNA technology has gotten, and it's gotten really, really cutting edge, I don't think they're going to be able to pin this down to like the day. I don't believe they're going to be able to say, oh, she had to have been murdered on May 9th of 2020. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. What I think they probably can do is say, we think that what we found is consistent with a person possibly being killed at around the time she went missing or something like that.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to pinpoint it to the day, but they're going to be able to give a general area. But we just have no idea what else might be around there. There might be things that she was wrapped in that could lead to new leads.
That's a good point.
I mean, like any other evidence. I mean, what if she was wrapped in a newspaper from a day, right?
Right. Well, we talked about the Gilgo Beach guy. Remember him? They found him because he used the same tarps to wrap up his victims.
Yeah.
They were able to use evidence from one crime scene
to tie it to
tie it to another. Again, I'm not saying that we're dealing with a serial killer situation. I'm just saying that it's amazing what information they might be able to get just from where they discovered the body.
So we're going
to
find a whole lot as that develops. And who knows? We may be rolling on to yet another Barry Morphew podcast.
I have a feeling we're not done with this.
Right.
I
it's very interesting.
Yeah. So Russ, this might be a good time to take a break to play Is This Legal? But man, we got some other stuff on the other side, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about who's going to take over this investigation. Is Linda Stanley and the 11th going to get another shot at Barry Morphew? What's going on? What's up with Barry Morphew? What's he doing now? And what's his exposure? Like, all these things we're going to cover on the flip side, so stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Are you ready to play Is This Legal?
Yes, I am, Russ. That's the enthusiasm that I just need on this Friday.
I'm fired up.
Man.
And Colin, you have one dialed up for us,
I've
right?
I've got one dialed up right here. I just dialed 9 to get outside, and now I'm putting in that code, and here comes the rest of it. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
All right, here we go. So we did an Is This Legal a few episodes ago where Jebediah hosted a party and he invited Officer Cornelius because Officer Cornelius doesn't have any friends. Remember that one?
I remember that.
And Cornelius went and he ended up having a great time. He like surprised himself. Wow, this is Cornelius guy or this is Jebediah guy is not that bad. But then, you know, things kind of turned a little sour because...
As they often do.
They do. I know. Cornelius, he slipped on a broken step in front of Jebediah's home. And he broke his leg. Okay. So I'm going to piggyback off that same Is This Legal we had and ask a different legal question. Okay. So, again, what happens is Officer Cornelius is visiting Jebediah. He breaks his leg, tripping on a broken step in front of Jebediah's house. So, Officer Cornelius sues Jebediah for negligence. Now, in our case, here's what happens. Jebediah, per usual, has no money, and knowing this, Cornelius agrees to settle his lawsuit against Jebediah for a paltry $100. Jebediah pays the money, and the settlement is filed with the court, and that's that, okay? Now, a week later, Russ, Jebediah wins the Northamptonshire lottery. He wins $1 million. Cornelius finds out about this because Jebediah is spreading money all over the town. He's buying new motor cars.
He probably saw him going to the bank with that giant check.
Right. Exactly. The huge one. Right. And so, you know, just, man, Cornelius is just furious. He storms over to the courthouse and he files a request that his settlement with Jebediah be set aside. He then files a brand new lawsuit seeking $500,000 in damages, arguing that the change in financial circumstances for Jebediah should allow a new lawsuit to be brought forward. Russ, what do you think the judge is going to say about Cornelius's request? Is that legal?
All right, take some time, everyone out there. Think about it. Seems.
I mean, I'll say only a couple of things. Seems a little unfair. I mean, God, Jebediah, like, he's poor. All of a sudden, he owes Cornelius money, and then what? He's got $1 million driving motor cars all over the place.
Well, and I assume Cornelius is still dealing with his injury. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to assume his injury is worth more than $100.
He can't chase criminals with a bum leg.
He's probably losing out on employment.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of problems. Seems equitable.
Russ, what's the answer here? Well, first of all, everybody at home got your answer. Does Cornelius win, Cornelius lose? Okay, you got your answer locked in. What's the answer?
Magistrate Myrtle says, not today, Cornelius. I don't think so. And it is because of a legal principle called
res judicata, which is absolutely my favorite Latin phrase that I ever had to learn for this weird profession.
My favorite's caveat emptor.
That is a good one.
Yeah, but
that is a good.
We'll cover that on a different one.
Res judicata. I feel like it could be like a song. Res judicata. Res judicata. Res judicata.
Very poorly performing.
It starts singing itself after a while. So yeah, that's the answer, Cornelius. So res judicata, by the way, is Latin for the thing that has been decided.
Yep.
Because this issue has been decided. It's been litigated. Cornelius had his bite at the apple. Yeah. He took it. He does not get to go after Jebediah after his most recent windfall.
You can't go back and relitigate things like that. I'll tell you, the only exception that comes to mind in the legal framework is if you are a criminal defendant and you are convicted and then newly discovered evidence comes up.
Right.
You can file a motion for a new trial, even though that has already been decided. But that is fundamentally different than a civil case where you're talking about money and two people came to an agreement. And if circumstances changed, hey, sorry, they changed. You had an agreement.
Now, here's a follow-up, though, for you. Let's just change one fact. What if Jebediah won the lottery while Cornelius's lawsuit was pending? So he was destitute when Cornelius filed the lawsuit, but before it could be settled, he gets the lottery winnings. What do you think? Does that change anything for Cornelius?
Yeah, it does, as long as there was no agreement entered into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would change everything.
That would change everything.
He might be able to recover more.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, that was fun. So hope you did okay at home. We're going to go back to our regularly scheduled programming. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are back, and we're going to continue talking about the Barry Morphew, Suzanne Morphew case. So, you know, we went through kind of what the new developments are. We did a history of what happened so far. Clearly, this case is not over. Clearly, they are still investigating right now. So, Colin, who is investigating this? Because now we have a whole new county interjected into this case.
That's a good question. Yeah, so let's just talk geography for a quick sec. So she went missing in Chaffee County. Right. All right, that's where Linda Stanley was the prosecutor. That's Chaffee County Sheriff. She's found in Sawatch County, which is in a completely new judicial district. That's the 12th judicial district. That's not Linda Stanley's territory.
Right.
That's being headed by a woman named Ann Kelly. That's her judicial district. Now, technically, both of those jurisdictions, Russ, can prosecute this case. If either of the jurisdictions have a nexus to the crime, they have jurisdiction. I mean, clearly, I think they both do, Russ. I mean, why don't you tell me, you take the 11th, I'll take the 12th. Why do you think the 11th has jurisdiction?
11th has jurisdiction is because that's where she went missing from. That's where she was either killed or abducted from.
Right.
A crime was committed in the 11th. That gives them jurisdiction.
Exactly. The 12th also has jurisdiction because that's where her body's found.
Yep.
So clearly, that's part of the crime. They have jurisdiction. Now, are we going to have like a tug of war between Linda Stanley on one end and Ann Kelly on the other? And there's like a criminal complaint in the middle and they have to decide which side who's going to file that thing?
That's so interesting. Like, that theoretically could happen.
Yeah.
But it never does.
Right.
It never does because DAs,
They
work these things out. They're all on the side of prosecution. They're all trying to get, to serve their version of justice. And generally, they would talk to each other. They'd see who makes more sense, and they'd go with it from there based on, you know, their internal agreement.
Right.
Now, we know CBI is still investigating this.
Right.
That's Colorado Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah. It was them and the Chaffee County sheriff to begin with. Now, I haven't seen, Russ, updates on whether there's been changes there. I am virtually positive that CBI is still involved. What I don't know is whether or not any local law enforcement agencies are assisting. I would assume Chaffee County is, just because they have so many ground hours in this case already, you know, that there's going to be some value in going back to people who worked the original case and saying, okay, even though we're going to kind of start this over, what do we know?
I would think there's going to be cooperation, right? And you have to have some cooperation. Like, obviously, the autopsy is being done. Well, actually, it was done in El Paso County, which is a totally separate county.
Right.
But everyone's going to be working together here.
But, well, let's talk about that for a second, though, because in our second podcast that we did on this case, 74, we talked about the fact that there seemed to be a rift between CBI and the Chaffee County Sheriff, and notably about when to charge. I believe, if I have my facts straight here, it was Sheriff Spazzi and Linda Stanley were really gunning for, we're prosecuting this case, we're going forward, whether we have a body or not, this is an important case, we're going forward. CBI was absolutely cautioning against that.
They're saying we're not
all
ready.
All the higher ups were saying, no way, we are not ready to file this case. We have not done the investigation we need. We are way behind. Do not file this case. Well, Linda Stanley, she's the one who filed it. And of course, we know what happens with that decision. It was disastrous. But, you know, I mean, we know, my only point there is there's already been conflict in these people playing together.
Well, I'll say if there were any lessons learned at all from the initial botched investigation, whoever is investigating this is going to take their time and be methodical and really make sure that the case is lined up before anything happens. So let's take the next what this leads to very clearly is, could Barry Morphew be charged again?
Yes. So fundamentally the answer is yes. Jeopardy never attached. You know, for those of you saying, well, wait a minute, they charged him. I read somewhere they can't charge you twice for the same crime. Well, yeah, the issue is they didn't reach a resolution. That case never went to trial. He was never convicted of anything. They dismissed the case before jeopardy attached, in other words.
Right.
So, yes, they can prosecute him. But Russ, I mean, is that to say, I mean, we were talking at the top of the show, there were a lot of problems with that prosecution. Sounds like there were a lot of judicial rulings. In fact, what's Barry Morphew doing right now? What legal action is he involved in as it relates to the 11th Judicial District Attorney's Office?
He filed a civil lawsuit. He filed a $15 million civil lawsuit against Chaffee County for violating his civil rights in that prosecution.
Yeah, he named the DA. He named the Chaffee County Sheriff. I think he even named some individual investigators. He's suing them for $15 million in federal court. That is a lawsuit that is pending right now. And the reason he filed that lawsuit is because through his attorneys, he's saying, my rights were violated. This prosecutor's office withheld information from me, misrepresented information from me. Meanwhile, I was unable to bond out of jail for charges that I shouldn't have been charged with in the first place.
Right. And that case, honestly, has some legs. We'll see what happens with it. But it's a big problem for them that they withheld evidence that caused a judge to decide to keep him in jail on a no bond hold when he may have actually had a bond and been out for that time if they had disclosed that information. So, like, that case is not without merit. We'll see where it goes. But does that affect, well, does one affect the other? If he gets charged again, can that civil case proceed? Or does the fact that he filed the civil case, does that prevent him from being charged criminally?
It certainly doesn't prevent him from being charged criminally. I think it's completely separate from anything going on. I think that suit can go forward.
It is.
I mean, he's alleging specific actions that occurred in the past with relation to how he was treated by these law enforcement agencies. Even if he's rearrested, that doesn't change what happened to him.
Right.
Now, certainly that might undercut. I mean, if he's arrested for murder again, maybe that's a bad fact. But
I mean, it's a bad fact emotionally, but it shouldn't affect it at all.
It wouldn't affect the legal.
Right. I mean, even if, like, let's say they find a confession with her body, and it's a written confession from Barry Morphew that says, sorry, I killed you, with his handwriting, and they charge him and say, yeah, we have a confession. He definitely did this. Here's how he did it. We have a full confession. He can still proceed with that civil case because that goes to how he was treated at the time with the information there was at the time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I will say, I mean, I think the existence of this lawsuit, to me, it's going to make it more likely that a different district attorney takes this case just because you kind of have a conflict of interest there. I mean, Linda Stanley's being sued by the person that she wants prosecuted. I just think it's going to make more sense for someone else to look at this.
I think for multiple reasons, it makes more sense that Chaffee County does not pick this case up again. Not the least of which, what you started to say, is the sanctions that were imposed. You know, we talked about these discovery violations that caused 11 or 12 of the 14 experts to be excluded from the trial, that gutted their case. You go back to Chaffee County, and it's still the same county. And at that point, can they bring in those experts?
Yeah.
Really, really unlikely that they could, right?
I think so. I mean, that's a great segue, Russ. I mean, what bearing, if any, Are these prior legal rulings that were imposed in the initial prosecution, are they going to carry over to any subsequent prosecution that may happen with Mr. Morphew?
Right.
The DA is, or pardon me, Mr. Morphew's attorney is going to say, absolutely, these should carry over. These witnesses weren't excluded, not because they just forgot to show up to court one day or because they were unavailable to testify. They were excluded as a sanction for the government conduct.
Right.
They were excluded because the judge said, you cannot withhold this information from this man, and as a sanction for you doing so repeatedly and repeatedly, over and over again, I'm going to gut your case as a sanction.
And it would be a joke if they could overcome that sanction by dismissing and then refiling.
Right, exactly.
Saying, we refiled. We have a new case. Now we get to bring all these people back in, right, Judge?
You cannot do that. Now, look, the one thing that we have that remains to be seen, because if you're a prosecutor, you're going to argue the other side of this, which is, Judge, first of all, let's assume that this is in a new jurisdiction.
Right.
You're going to be able to say, Your Honor, that case was dismissed. It was dismissed without prejudice. It's in the past. We had nothing to do with that. By the way, that prosecution was also hampered by the fact that there was no body. We have a body in this case. That changes everything. For one thing, I mean, just off the top of my head, it kind of makes me wonder if any of those experts that they were going to use in the initial prosecution might be moot now. I mean, there were some experts relating to DNA. I don't know. Maybe the discovery of the body is going to somewhat obfuscate the need for those witnesses. But I think they're going to also try, prosecutors are going to try and say, look, despite the sanctions, that was a different prosecution. We didn't do any of that. We want to introduce all of this.
Yeah. Those sanctions were against bad actions taken by Chaffee County, not Sawatch County. We're Sawatch County. We're good guys. Our hands are clean. You can't hamper us. You can't hamstring us in a brand new prosecution because of what some other DA in a different county did. It'll be very interesting if they have evidence to tie it to Barry Morphew and they bring a new suit against Barry Morphew, how that plays out. So let's talk about this. If a new case gets brought in a different county against Barry Morphew, we know that it can be, right? Mm-hmm. The case was dismissed without prejudice means that specifically means it can be brought again. So if that happens again, in the first one, Linda Stanley direct filed. She just filed charges against Barry Morphew.
Right.
Do you think that the Chaffee or the Sawatch County DA is going to do the same thing?
I don't. This case is starting to scream grand jury all the way to me.
Yeah.
So to remind our listeners, there's two ways that a charge can be brought against someone in Colorado. I should say a felony charge. The district attorney can just file the case directly. They can assert through pleadings and motions, we have probable cause that this person committed a crime. You know, here's the witness list. Here's the evidence. Here's what we got. That's what Linda Stanley did. I would expect a novel approach to include the use of a grand jury in this case. A grand jury, we've talked about it many times in this podcast. This is a big body of people who they're not the final arbiter of the case. They don't decide guilt or non-guilt. They make a charging decision. They decide, do we have enough probable cause to say that a crime was committed here? So what would happen is the district attorney would present all of this evidence for whoever the defendant is, if it's Barry Morphew or if it's some other person that we have yet to discover.
Joe Blow and his crew. Joe Blow and his crew probably did it.
Of course they did. If Joe Blow and his crew could step forward, whoever it is. What was I saying?
It's going to a grand jury.
It's going to a grand jury.
So they don't have to be on the hook for making that decision.
Yeah, and honestly, that gives the prosecutor a little bit of cover.
Right.
They can say, listen, I'm not going after Barry Morphew.
Right.
I'm not going after whoever the defendant is. I'm presenting the evidence. They're making the decision. And if they decide that an indictment should be returned, we're going to prosecute.
Yeah.
That's how I would expect this to go.
We're going to honor the people's decision.
Yeah. That's probably what Linda Stanley should have done. I mean, Linda Stanley probably should have done a lot of different things back. But
So speaking of Linda Stanley.
In a way, I feel bad because we've kind of piled on Linda Stanley, but appropriately so. I mean, she might be a nice person, but she's a terrible district attorney.
Yeah.
Russ, she just lost her law license.
Yeah.
Again, it's not the first time. She just got suspended because she didn't complete her continuing legal education classes.
So for anyone out there, every... Every 3 years, every lawyer in Colorado has to complete legal education, continuing education classes in a set number of hours, and you have 3 years to get it done, and you get those hours done, and then your law license renews, and then it starts over for the next 3 years. Linda Stanley apparently did not do those hours, which honestly is not that hard to do.
It's not hard to do at all, especially if you're a DA. You have to go to mandatory trainings at least twice a year. Yeah. And you get credit for all these things. I mean,
I don't know if it was like a paperwork thing where she went to these trainings and just didn't file the affidavits that she had gone, or if she skipped them. But whatever it is, it's fairly... It's hard to believe.
I mean, here's what I do know. There's 22 elected DAs, not including the AG and other prosecutors, and the Office of Attorney Regulation came out and said, we've never seen this occur for an elected DA before.
In the history.
I think she said since she had been here. But
okay.
Look, this is just one more example of just how things seem to fall through the cracks in this office.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't think it's going to end up with her again.
I think maybe Linda Stanley just needs a better personal assistant. Maybe. And then all these things would be taken care of. Like, she, by the way, is not running for DA next year.
Yeah, she was elected in 2020. She could run for re-election next year. She's apparently said, I'm not going to run. So that's that. Russ, let's make a prediction. We do like predictions on this show. My first ask of you is Barry Morphew going to be charged in his wife's disappearance again? That's my question to you.
That is so hard because we don't have any forensics.
I recognize we don't have nearly enough information that we need to answer that question, but that's why it's a prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, and I'm going to say no because the information we do have seems to point to a place of disposal of the body where Barry Morphew was not.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, obviously we're kind of speculating in terms of what they're finding and what they're not going to find, but there would almost literally have to be a smoking gun, right, Russ? I mean, I'm using that
something
term.
Big.
There would have to be something directly attributable to Mr. Morphew and no one else for this to go forward. I don't know if the discovery of the body, while significant, is going to yield enough forensic evidence 3.5 years later.
His skin under her nails could.
Maybe, but you know, I don't know. Does that mean he killed her?
Right. Doesn't have to mean that.
So you can see the challenges already, though.
Right.
This is going to be challenging. So yeah, my prediction is that Barry Morphew will not be charged. That's what I'm guessing right now.
All right. Well, stay tuned. But right now, Colin, I think it's time. For the segment that everyone loves.
We need to lighten the load, man.
It is time for
C-O-T-W.
The Dumb. Wow, that was a heck of a W.
Thank you.
The Dumb Criminal of the Week.
Yes.
All right. So,
Russ, this is your turn. I don't know anything about what you're about to tell me today.
It is my turn, and I have a good one. I have a good one, as we often do.
Yes.
Because turns out there is no lack of dumb criminals in the world.
Yeah.
We don't have to go to the world, though. We can stay in this country. And we're going to go in this country to a little place in the southeast of the country called Florida. Because for whatever reason.
I like how you were kind of cloaking that in a little mystery, like our listeners had no idea already where we were going.
only like 80% of our DCLTWs are from Florida.
Get in the car, guys. We're going back to the Sunshine State.
All right. Good old FLA. Mm-hmm. All right. So, in Florida, a resident named Claude Vincent Griffin, 33 years old, decided he was going to commit some crime.
Okay.
So at 4 a.m., he went in and robbed a phone repair store in a shopping plaza. He actually got away with 19 phones and $8,000 in cash.
Mm.
Total of $15,000 worth of merchandise.
Okay.
Now, very smartly, He hid his identity. He, not so smartly, hid his identity by obfuscating his face.
Hey, you liked that earlier, huh?
I mean, I loved the use of that word earlier so much.
That's a $6 word right there.
It's so nice. We had to say it twice.
So, why not thrice? Obfuscate.
So he hid his face by placing a box over his head as he committed this crime.
Okay, I've seen worse, but go ahead.
Now, this box had no eye holes. Oh. So this is just like a baker's box that he put on his head and went and smashed the case.
All right.
After he smashes the case and grabs the phones, probably because he can't see, the box comes off his head, clearly exposing his identity. The owner of the store had very good high-definition cameras and circulated a video of his face. He was found, Colin, pretty quickly, mostly because he hadn't gone very far. He was found that day detained drinking at a liquor store in the same shopping plaza that he had just robbed.
Wow. Tell me he was wearing the box.
He was not wearing the box. I mean, I this wasn't in the story, but I picture he kind of had the box flipped over and had all the phones and the cash in it. Like, I mean, it's a multi-use box. It can hide your identity and carry your booty.
But not at the same time. But
not at the same time. He was arrested and charged with grand theft, burglary, criminal mischief, cocaine possession, and resisting an officer. Hmm. So you could say, Colin, he checked a lot of boxes.
I guess you could say when the cops were closing in, you got boxed in.
Oh, all right.
Man. At least he was able to make his phone call.
Is that a pump?
Well, he had cell phones. He stole cell phones. He could call his...
Okay.
Thanks.
I got you. Sorry. I didn't pick that up yet.
Obviously.
Everyone out there listening is probably laughing a lot right now, though.
I mean, I take solace in the laughter that I can't
hear. The silent laughter.
Yeah. That's pretty much like most of my jokes, so I'll take it anyway. That's a good one, Russ. My goodness. So we're
talking... How many knuckleheads?
Yeah. You got to love the guy who takes steps to mask your disguise only to do a big reveal at some point during the episode.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Three is what's coming to mind here. He made a successful getaway. Sounds like he was able to take his money and buy some booze and, you know, probably had 2 to 3 hours of some really good just hanging out time before the fuzz showed up, right?
Probably bought some, like, Johnny Blue.
Right. No, actually, not no, our friend Claude here. I don't think he's a Johnny Blue kind of guy. No,
you're probably right.
I'm more thinking kind of like Evan Williams, maybe, you know, maybe he might be a Mad Dog kind of guy.
Cole 45.
Maybe, yeah.
Could be that.
And honestly, I mean, that's like 20 cents right there, right? I mean, that's pretty cheap.
I'm going to just assume he was drinking with friends, so he spent some of that to make his friends happy.
Did he make it to Cinnabon? Was he at least able to get himself a Cinnabon?
I mean, he hung out at that shopping plaza. I mean, he probably hit multiple stores.
I got to tell you, dude, I went to the mall recently. We're hosting a foreign exchange student in our house. You know this, and he had homecoming, so we had to take him to get geared up. And he had never been to Cinnabon before, Russ.
Was he impressed?
I was like, look, we have to correct this immediately. When's the last time you had a Cinnabon?
Long time.
Years. It's just delectable, man. It's still so good. And now they've got these 4-packs. I'm not being sponsored by Cinnabon, by the way. They're just the best.
Although you can get we these would be open packs. To a sponsorship from Cinnabon.
Yeah, Cinnabon. Welcome to your new pitch, man. You know, we'll plug podcasts. We'll plug cinnamon rolls. You name it. You know, but yeah. Anyway, well, yeah. What's your rating?
I'm gonna give him a three
knuckleheads out of five.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a four. I think I don't give him that much credit for getting away because he didn't really leave. And he should have known that his ID was. And what are you doing wearing a box that you can't see out of? Like, I'm almost talking myself into a five right here. You're an idiot. You're an idiot, and we're all dumber for having listened to that, Claude.
I think you're right. You convinced me. I think I'm up to a four now. Okay. All right. Thanks, Claude. Thanks, Florida, actually. That's the real state we should be thanking. They're just the gift that keeps on giving.
They are.
All right. Well, that's enough of is this legal? Enough of this talk. Enough is this legal talk today. Russ, where can people find us?
On X, formerly known as Twitter, at Is This Legal Pod, on Facebook at Hebbets McCallan. You can email us at denvercrimelaw@gmail.com.
That's right. Thoughts on this case? Do you have predictions about what's going to happen to Mr. Morphew? Would you like to be a guest on Is This Legal? Send us an email. Introduce yourself. Let us know what you think. We'd love to have you on, and thank you for listening. Anything else, Russ?
Enjoy our outro.
Bye-bye.
Johnny Law looked at me, said, Jebediah, can't you see them things you're doing just ain't right? Going around this town, stirring up a fright. Won't get far driving in your motor car. Look Cornelius right in the eye. Said you ain't got proof. I ain't the guy. Said I may not wear no crown upon my head. I may not be regal.